wasn't it, that this was a real question they had? Because to them, it certainly appears that Elijah had not come. They hadn't seen evidence of Elijah coming. That's why they're asking the question. And certainly they had not seen Elijah come in the way that they had expected him to come. Otherwise, they wouldn't have asked the question. And consider this. They had just met Elijah in the Transfiguration. And perhaps they took one look at him and it was confirmed for them. They didn't recognize him. No one before them had seen Elijah come. They hadn't seen Elijah in their own lifetime. And so this becomes a matter of faith. You've got Jesus who's saying, Elijah has come. And you've got their own experience and their tradition saying, Elijah has not come. What are they going to do? Are they going to go onto the narrow road and follow Jesus? Or are they going to go onto this main road that they've been following all their lives? Are they going to continue on that and believe that Elijah hasn't come yet? Either Jesus is the Messiah or Jesus isn't the Messiah. Either way, they had to make a decision. Because either they would have faith in Jesus and what he says, or they would not. And the choice is theirs. Just like the choice for us. Is Jesus the Messiah or isn't he? You have to make a choice. There's no halfway. There's no A road that runs in between. It's the motorway or it's the narrow way. Certainly, tradition indicates that John the Baptist was the returning Elijah. This is what all the scholars tell us. And it seems that this is perhaps what Jesus was pointing us to. His ministry of calling people to repentance certainly did set out to achieve what Elijah called the Jews to, and was doing in his ministry too. And Elijah is supposed to let the Jews know that they can return to their promised land. That's what the Jews believe. And they, at the end of their Sabbath, Jews pray that Elijah will come with the Anointed One. That's what they pray. They're still expecting Elijah to come with the Anointed One so that they can return in fullness to their promised land. So you see that when Jesus called from the cross, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, that some who were gathered thought he was calling for Elijah. Yeah, I think they were being optimistic, weren't they? Maybe there is a middle way where we can still believe that he's the Messiah because he's going to do what we want him to do. But he wasn't going to do what they wanted him to do. He was going to do what the Messiah had to do as the suffering servant. John the Baptist himself, you know, he certainly was a miracle by birth to Elizabeth and Zechariah in their old age. And he certainly was mistreated in the way that Jesus spoke of. And he certainly made, didn't he, a straight path, quoting the words of Isaiah, preparing the way for the Messiah to come. He did all that. And in that sense, he was the coming of Elijah, we're told. But whether we believe that or not, all we need to believe, if we're putting faith in Jesus, is that Elijah had come. And that is all that Jesus was asking his disciples to do. Believe me. Believe the truth of what I say. In the end, Elijah's identity is a red herring in this. We might have studied this passage before and been fixed on who Elijah could be, but it's of secondary importance here. What is important in this context is whether the three who with Jesus would choose to put their faith in him, would they choose the narrow way or would they reject his words? What Jesus is saying, he also says in John 14:1, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And that's what we have to do if we're followers of Jesus. The evidence might not always be there for us, but there has been enough that has gone on that have convinced us that Jesus is the Messiah, that when he says something, we can take it in the plain sense. We can take it as being truth. We can take it as being gospel, if you like. And indeed, it's because of the confusion that was going on here in the minds of Jesus' followers the confusion in the timeline. When's Elijah going to come? He hasn't come yet. Can Jesus really be the Messiah? Confusions in the timeline regarding the suffering servant. Wasn't the suffering servant supposed to come after the conquering king? That's how it seems to be laid out in the book of Isaiah. All of these things were going on in the heads of Peter, James, and John, and they had to choose, were they going to believe what they had always been taught and told, or were they going to believe their teacher, who they were just told by the Father God is his son and has all authority and who can be believed? Peter, James, and John, most likely they think at this point that the day of the Lord is near. They still believed that Jesus was the Messiah, even if things weren't shaping up quite as they hoped they would, and things really would go pear-shaped for them later on, and they would really question it then, when they would realize that Jesus at this time was not coming to liberate them from their foes. And in the context that we read in Mark, we see that the disciples will still press on with their belief that Jesus is the coming Messiah to conquer, even though he has said repeatedly that he's come to die and rise again. And their response, not wanting to spoil things too much by pressing on, but their response is that they'll start vying for position. We'll see that in chapter 9, starting at verse 33, and in chapter 10, starting at verse 35. They believe in the imminency of the day of the Lord. And the imminency of the day of the Lord should be believed in. He will come as a thief in the night. And we all need to be ready. We all need to be on the narrow way when that comes. And it should evoke a reaction, but not the one that the disciples had at that time. Not about searching for power. Who will be seated next to Jesus? None of that matters. Power doesn't matter. We are all the community of Christ, and we are all to help each other stay on the narrow way. Well, we'll look at all this in detail as we continue to go through Mark's gospel. But just in case the day of the Lord comes first, because you never know, it could do, I will say this. If you have designs on being snatched up to meet the Lord in heaven, or indeed enter the kingdom of heaven, then focus on the instructions the Lord has given you. Don't concentrate on anything else. Don't be deceived by anything else that the world is saying. Remain on the narrow way. And by means of faith in him, you will remain on the narrow way. By believing everything he has said, and by believing everything that you read in Scripture, it means what it says. Allegory or anything like this, no. Read it in the plain sense. Every prophecy that has been fulfilled in the plain sense, and it points to Jesus Christ. And every prophecy that will be fulfilled, and there are more than have already been fulfilled to be fulfilled, God will also do those things. So look upwards, watch, and have faith. Amen. Well, David's going to play for us now. And on Jordan's Bank, the Baptist's Cry is one that we're going to listen to now. Usually we only get this during Advent, but I thought it was suitable for today as well. We're going to, we can follow the words if you want in Baptist 147. So do sit and enjoy and follow the words.
Thank you.
receive our collection now, and then we're going to enter a time of prayer. So we're going to pray. There's a lot that we've got to pray for today, a lot to give thanks for, but I'm grateful to David for preparing this additional sheet to go with our order of service so that we're able to remember the royal family at this time after the death of the Duke of Edinburgh, and also to remember all those who are grieving at this time. We're also going to remember the reopening of the shops and outside business that's going to be able to open as of tomorrow. Things are going to start to look more normal and busier, I'm sure, but there's a lot to pray about. So let us bow our heads in prayer. Loving Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a good God. We thank you that you are a God who gives us clear instructions. We thank you that you speak to us and meet with us and even live within us through your Holy Spirit. May we listen to your voice, may we read your words, and may we pray without ceasing. And so, Lord, we lift our prayers to you this morning. We pray, Lord, giving thanks for the life of the Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Philip. We thank you for all he's done that is positive in this country, for the support he has been to the royal family and to the Queen. We thank you, Lord, for the charitable organisations that he's raised the profile of and for the work that he's done. We thank you, Lord, that his is a life well lived. And we do pray, Lord, that you would be with all who are grieving at this time. We particularly think of the royal family. But we know, Lord, that there are so many people who are grieving all over the world at this time, faced with illness or the death of a loved one, faced with the threat of war, of poverty, of so much suffering. We see, Lord, a kingdom of darkness over this earth, and we long for the day when your kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, will break through in its fullness and shine light into every corner, when there'll be no time for mourning, but just rejoicing and joy. And so as we see our country beginning to take steps to get back to some measure of normality, we do pray for those whose businesses will be opening this week, for those who have struggled through the past few months. We pray, Lord, that they will be supported in the community and that they will be able to make the money they need to survive and to prosper as well in their lives. But Lord, we pray that not everything returns to normal. We pray, Lord, that there is an awakening in people's hearts, that all this is temporary, and that in you there is permanence. And so, Lord, we ask that you would instill in us a desire, a courage to share your good news, Lord, that it might be the solid rock of foundation that people can build their lives on, looking towards you and not towards the world. Use our gifts, Lord. Use what we present before you for your service, we pray. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Remember that at 11 o'clock on Wednesday, if you want to come along and be part of the Unlocking the Bible course, there's plenty of pews open for you to come and do so. Thank you for those who attended it this week. It was well attended, and I hope it was of use. So, may God bless you and be with you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.